This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to acknowledge feelings without fueling conflict. Name emotions with precision so they lose their power to escalate. In short, acknowledging feelings during conflict does not mean agreeing with the other person or surrendering your position. It means naming what is emotionally present so the conversation can move instead of spin. Done with composure, it is the single most powerful tool for stopping escalation before it takes hold. Name the emotion you deserve, not the behavior you dislike. Keep your tone neutral. Delivery carries more weight than the words. Acknowledge first, then address the substance of the disagreement. Definition: acknowledge feelings. Conflict is the practice of naming the emotional experience present in a disagreement, without judgment or argument, to interrupt escalation and create space for productive dialogue. It requires emotional control, precise language, and the restraint to listen before responding. A colleague storms out of a meeting after you question their figures in front of the group. You follow them into the corridor and say, "I was just being honest." They say nothing and walk away. The conflict does not end there. It goes underground, and it costs you the relationship for months. I have been that person in the corridor, certain I was reasonable, baffled by the reaction. What I did not understand then was this: the moment someone feels their emotional experience has been dismissed, they stop hearing your logic entirely. You can be completely right, and still make everything worse. Knowing how to acknowledge feelings without fueling conflict is the skill that changes that outcome, and it is harder to do under pressure than anyone admits. Why emotional control breaks down exactly when you need it most. Your body does not distinguish between a physical threat and an interpersonal one. When conflict sharpens, the same stress response fires, your breathing tightens, your thinking narrows, your voice rises in pitch. This is emotional flooding, and it is not a character flaw. It is biology working against you at the worst possible moment. The problem is that most people try to manage conflict from inside that flooded state. They reach for the right words while their nervous system is screaming at them to defend, attack, or flee. The words come out wrong. The tone betrays the intention. The other person feels the charge behind the sentence, not the sentence itself. I spent years trying to say the right things in the middle of the flood. It really worked. What works is managing your own internal state before you open your mouth. That is where emotional control actually lies, not in the script, but in the composure you bring to it. Understanding what happens to you physiologically during conflict is your first real advantage. If you know the flood is coming, you can prepare for it. If it surprises you every time, you will always be a half step behind. What has to be true before you can acknowledge anything? There is a precondition to this entire process, and skipping it ruins everything downstream. You need to have regulated yourself enough to mean what you say. An acknowledgement delivered with clenched teeth and a clipped tone is not an acknowledgement. It is a weapon dressed up in polite language. The other person will feel the hostility underneath and respond to that, not to your words. Psychological safety in any team depends on people believing that their emotional experience will be treated with respect, not used against them. You cannot create that belief while you're personally dysregulated. Composure is not performance. It is the ground everything else stands on. You also need clarity about your purpose. You are not acknowledging feelings to win the argument. You are not doing it to appear magnanimous. You are doing it because the conversation cannot go anywhere useful until the emotional charge in the room has been recognized. Keep that purpose clear, and the words will follow. The six-step process for acknowledging feelings under pressure. This is the sequence I have tested across decades of difficult conversations in workplaces, in families, in rooms where people had real grievances and real stakes. It is ordered for a reason. Do not skip steps. Number 1. Pause and ground yourself first. Before you speak, take one full breath and feel your feet on the floor. This is not theatrical. It is a physical reset that lowers your voice, slows your pace, and signals calm to your own nervous system. 3 seconds is enough. Most people rush past this and pay for it. Number 2. Lower your voice deliberately. Not to a whisper, but below your natural speaking volume. A quieter voice reduces the emotional charge in the room, and it forces the other person to lean in rather than brace against you. It also tells your own body that this is not an emergency. Number 3. Name the emotion you deserve, not the behavior you dislike. This is the precise skill at the center of the whole process. You are not commenting on what the person did. You are reflecting back what they appear to be feeling. It sounds like you are frustrated is acknowledgement. You are being aggressive is accusation. The difference is everything. The script is simple. It sounds like, or I can see this feels, or if I'm reading this right, you're feeling these openings hold space. They invite correction without demanding it. Number four, stop talking. After you name the emotion, go quiet. Give the person room to confirm, correct, or expand. Most people fill the silence with justifications or qualifications, which erases the acknowledgement entirely. The pause is doing real work. Trust it. Number five, confirm what you heard before moving forward. Once they respond, paraphrase the core of what they said. Not a word-for-word repeat, but the essence. So what I am hearing is that you felt blindsided when I raised that in front of everyone. Is that right? This step matters because it proves you are listening, and it gives them a chance to correct you before you proceed. For a deeper look at how emotional intelligence shapes these exchanges in team settings, the connection between self-awareness and genuine listening is worth understanding before you practice these scripts. Number six, separate the acknowledgement from the solution. Do not pivot to problem solving the moment the acknowledgement lands. People need a beat between feeling heard and discussing what comes next. Rushing to solution signals that the acknowledgement was tactical, not genuine. Wait for a visible shift, a softened posture, a slower breath, a nod. Then you can move. When the other person is already over the line. This process works cleanly in moderate conflict. It needs adjusting when the other person is already in full flood, raised voice, personal language, no apparent interest in slowing down. In those moments, the acknowledgement needs to come even earlier and be even simpler. Long sentences will not land. Use short, clear phrases. I hear you. That matters. Keep going. I'm listening. These are not platitudes. They are anchors. They tell the flooded person that they do not need to escalate further to be heard. De-escalating team conflict in high-pressure moments follows the same principle. The first goal is always to lower the temperature, not to resolve the substance. Acknowledgement is your primary de-escalation tool. If the conversation is remote, over video or phone, you lose non-verbal cues entirely. You cannot see the posture shift or the softened expression that tells you the acknowledgement landed. Compensate by naming what you notice in their voice. You sound like this has been building for a while, and slow down more than feels natural. Remote conflict moves faster and cools slower than face-to-face conversation. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last, and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book 8 Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. The three places people go wrong. After watching hundreds of people attempt this, and failing at it plenty myself, the mistakes cluster around three things. The mistake, acknowledging and then immediately pivoting to but. Why it happens. The urge to defend your own position is almost irresistible once you've been generous enough to acknowledge theirs. What to do instead? Treat the acknowledgement as its own complete act. Finish it fully before you bring anything else into the room. The word but cancels everything that came before it. The mistake, using acknowledgement language in a sarcastic or clipped tone. Why it happens. You are not fully regulated, and the body betrays the intention. What to do instead? Return to step one. If you cannot deliver the acknowledgement with genuine calm, you are not ready to deliver it yet. A short pause, even 10 seconds, is better than a poisoned olive branch. The mistake, naming the wrong emotion and not recovering when corrected. Why it happens. We assume we know what the other person is feeling, and when they correct us, we get defensive about our interpretation. What to do instead? Treat their correction as a gift. You're right. I read that wrong. Tell me what is actually going on. That single recovery move often does more than the original acknowledgement. You can build psychological safety that enables honest communication, specifically through moments like these, where you demonstrate that being corrected does not threaten you. Before the next difficult conversation, a redness check. Keep this close. Run through it before any conversation you know carries emotional weight. Number 1. Have I regulated my own state enough to speak with genuine calm? Number 2. Do I know what emotion I'm likely to observe in this person? And have I prepared language to name it neutrally? Number 3. Am I clear that my goal is acknowledgement first, resolution second? Number 4. Have I prepared to pause after naming the emotion, rather than filling the silence? Number 5. Do I know how to paraphrase the response back to them in plain language? Number 6. Have I separated in my mind what I want to acknowledge from what I want to argue? Number 7. If this person is already flooded, do I have 2 or 3 short anchor phrases ready? This is not a lengthy ritual. A minute with this list before a hard conversation changes how you walk into the room. There is useful related ground in emotional intelligence and feedback conversations, particularly when the feedback you're giving carries its own emotional charge for both people in the room. When the damage has already been done. Sometimes you read this after a conversation that went wrong. The acknowledgement did not happen. The conflict escalated. The relationship took a hit. That is when knowing how to apologize in a way that actually repairs things becomes the next tool you reach for. Acknowledgement and repair are close relatives. Both require you to put the other person's experience before your own need to be understood. And if you find that you're regularly unable to access acknowledgement under pressure, the issue may run deeper than technique. The amygdala hijack is the specific physiological mechanism behind that pattern, and understanding it is worth your time before practicing these steps again. Acknowledging feelings in conflict is a skill that rewards practice with a consistency you can feel. You start slowly. You notice the moment when you would usually defend and choose to name instead. You watch the other person's posture shift. Over time, you trust the process because you have seen it work. That trust is what emotional control actually feels like when it becomes yours. Frequently asked questions. What does it mean to acknowledge feelings in conflict? To acknowledge feelings in conflict means naming what someone is experiencing without judgment or argument. You reflect back the emotion you observe, which signals that you heard them. This interrupts the escalation cycle and creates enough space for real conversation to begin. How do you acknowledge feelings without making conflict worse? Keep your language neutral and descriptive rather than interpretive or loaded. Say what you observe, not what you conclude. Use phrases like "it sounds like you're frustrated" rather than "you're being angry." Tone and timing matter as much as the words themselves. Why is emotional control so hard during conflict? During conflict, the brain treats disagreement as a threat and triggers a stress response. Your thinking narrows, your voice tightens, and your instinct is to defend or withdraw. That physiological shift happens faster than conscious thought, which is why emotional control requires deliberate preparation and practice. Can acknowledging feelings make conflict worse? Yes, if done poorly. Naming emotions in a sarcastic tone, at the wrong moment, or with loaded language can feel dismissive or patronizing. Emotional control means watching your delivery as carefully as your words. A genuine, calm acknowledgement lands completely differently than a performative one. What is the difference between acknowledging feelings and agreeing with someone? Acknowledging a feeling means recognizing it exists, not endorsing the position behind it. You can say, "I hear that this situation feels unfair to you," without accepting that it was unfair. The distinction keeps you honest while still creating the connection needed to move forward. How do I acknowledge feelings when I'm also upset? This is the hardest version. You need to stabilize yourself first before you can genuinely acknowledge anyone else. Take one slow breath, plant your feet on the floor, and lower your voice deliberately. Only then speak. If you are too flooded to manage your own state, ask for a short pause before continuing. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.